Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. You are welcome here. And we pray your will be done in our lives this morning, that your word will become alive. Lord, you are the word. And so become alive in us. Help us to hear what you want to say and help us to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Kelly started our series, Jonah. And I'm really excited about this series because God has even been doing a lot in my life as I've been preparing it and just reminding me of how God has paralleled a lot of my life with Jonah's life, how I had ran from God and how he brought me out of the pit that I was in and he called me to do something for him. And it's been a journey following that call and being obedient to what God has called me to do. And so I want to pick up where Kelly left off last week. She talked about the call that Jonah had, the consequence of disobedience, and the rescue, God's rescue, by providing a fish for him, of all things, to provide him a fish so he wouldn't drown, and Jonah's response. And this is where we pick up Jonah's response. This was his second chance. This is where he said, you know what? God has given me another chance. He told me to do something. I didn't do it. I ran away. But now I'm going to do it. This is my do-over. How many of you have had do-overs? I've had lots of do-overs. And I get do-overs all the time because God's a God of grace and compassion. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Let's read in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God, and a fast was proclaimed. All of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne. He took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Covering yourself with sackcloth was a way of humbling yourself. Let them be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? Look at that, verse 9. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So here we learn again that Jonah was called by God and God came to him a second time. And what did he do? He spoke to Jonah. God speaks to us because he has a plan for us. He wants us to be a part of what he is doing. Jonah was God's messenger. So what did God tell him? He said, the first thing he did, he said, go. Go to where? To Nineveh. And why Nineveh? Why would God send Jonah to Nineveh? It wasn't because Jonah had a heart for Nineveh. Jonah wanted them to burn. Jonah wanted him to be destroyed for their wickedness. He didn't care about them, right? He didn't care. But God, it said in chapter 4, verse 11, later on, we learned that God had great concern for the people of Nineveh. God had a great concern for the people of Nineveh. That's why he was sending Jonah. It doesn't matter how we feel about something. We can always trust and know that God has a great concern for us. God, I believe, has a great concern for this great city where we find ourselves living. You say Rueil-Malmaison? No. I mean Paris. Paris, France. God has called us, you and myself, to Paris, to this great city. And he, much like he gave to Jonah, he gave a mission and he also gave Jonah a message. He told Jonah to go and preach. And what did he ask Jonah to do? What did he ask Jonah to preach? What was his message? Repentance. He asked him to preach repentance. I believe that God wants repentance to come to the city, not because he wants anything but them to come to know him and know his fullness. He wants them to come to know what Jesus has done for them and how they can live the full life with the Holy Spirit. Amen? God has great concern for this city. So he called Jonah to preach repentance. It was a simple message. And I believe that just like God gave Jonah a simple message, God gave us, his followers, a simple message. Say, Joel, God has given me a message. I don't think some of you believe it. Say, Joel, God has given me a message. God has given me a message to preach. I'm starting to believe you, maybe. He has given us a mission, and he has given us a message. I want to look at two disciples of Jesus, Matthew and Luke. These are two guys who spent time with Jesus. And before he was taken into heaven, I don't know some of you may be new to this whole story of Jesus, but before he was taken into heaven, you see, Jesus lived upon this earth, and he lived a sinless life. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And he came and he preached the good news of repentance and forgiveness as well. And he healed the sick, and he raised the dead. And these guys were witnesses to all these things that he had been doing. They were with him. And then he was crucified for our sins, because it was a part of what the scriptures were spoken of him. It had to be fulfilled in order for all things to be made right. Okay, so here's just a little bit of the context. Jesus was about to go back into heaven. And before he had to go, he wanted to make sure the disciples knew their message and their mission. And so this is where we're picking up right here. And he says to them, and let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Many of you know this verse. It's very familiar if you've been in the church any amount of time. It says, then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So our message as followers of Jesus is simple. It says to what? Go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. Is that too complicated? Let's try it. Go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. So that's our mission. We're supposed to go into wherever God has called us. You think God called you here just to work? No, that's not true. God called you here to be a part of his plan for what he wants to bring upon this earth. He wants to bring salvation because he has concern and care for the people that we see. This is a great city that we live in, 10 times greater than the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was 120,000 people. If we take all the metropolitan area of Paris today, how many people do we have here? 12 million people. And how many of those people know Jesus? How many of those people know his grace and his freedom? How many of those people know redemption? Not many. Less than 1%, if you look at the statistics. People need the grace and freedom of Jesus, and that's our job as the church. It's not my job as a pastor or evangelist. It's not my job. It's our job. Some people say, well, that's your job. You're the evangelist. That's your job. You're the pastor. No. Jesus said to his disciples, and what is a disciple? a follower of Jesus. He said to his disciples, go. That's all of us. That's yours. That's mine. It's on all of us. So it's clear. We've got to go. We've got to make disciples. We don't just get people to say yes to Jesus. We help them to grow and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. We help them become mature in their faith. That's our job. It's not my job. It's whose job? Our job. It's our job as we walk in obedience to the mission. Now, let me continue here. We're supposed to baptize them. And we're talking about baptism in water here. Baptism in water is a proclamation of an inner work of what God has done in your life. It doesn't save you in and of itself. It's just an expression of, and to tell the world and everybody around you, maybe people in your family, hey, this is what God has done in my life. He redeemed me. He saved me from my pit. He set me free. And that's what Jesus told us to do, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's continue because I don't want to run out of time here. Our message is found in Luke. Luke, this is Luke's perspective of this same moment. This was Matthew's perspective, what I just talked about just now. But this is Luke's perspective. Let's read Luke chapter 24, 44 through 49. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. You have to remember, these guys didn't have the Bible as we know it today. They had to rely upon the written word, and that you would often find at the synagogues and other places. It's not like they could just pull out the New Testament because it didn't even exist yet. They were going to be the ones who wrote the New Testament. And so they had to depend upon God to reveal to them the truth of the scripture. And this is what I love about this next verse, 45. And I pray this for all of us. I pray this for myself. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. We need God to open our minds so that we can understand the scriptures. We've got too much junk in there. We've got too much baggage in there. We've got too many things floating around in our ideologies. And we need the Holy Spirit and God to open us, open our minds so that we can understand the truth of his word. And so he did this. And he said, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. That is our message. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And you say, well Joel, that just sounds a little harsh to me. You know, I don't want to go around preaching repentance and forgiveness like that. Like you're telling people there's something wrong with their lives. Well, you know what? The Bible says there is something wrong with their lives. And that is what we do. We let people, you have to get people to a place of having them understand that there is a need, that there needs to be repentance. The Bible clearly talks about in Romans that God's kindness leads us to repentance. And without repentance, we can't have salvation. If the Ninevites would not have humbled themselves and repented, there would not have been salvation, but there would have been destruction. And it's the same for us today. We have been given the gift of Jesus Christ to save us from our sins because we can't do it ourselves. There's nothing you can do to save yourself from God's coming judgment. And this is what the Bible clearly talks about. You say, no, God, we shouldn't talk about God's judgment. We should talk about God's grace. We should talk about his love. We should talk about his kindness. You're just preaching too hard. But this is what God has told us to preach. You look at the prophets, they preached repentance. You look at Jesus, he preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. The apostles of the early church preached repentance. And so I think there's a model here. Do you think there's a model that we can follow? And I say we. It's all of us. And so how do we do that? We go about our lives. We go about our business. I don't think Jonah went into the middle of the square. And maybe he did, but I don't know what he did. But he probably didn't stand on a box and repent and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming, and you better repent, and Nineveh's going to be turned over in 40 days. Because that's what it says here. He conveyed that message, but I think he also shared his life story. You see, he had just been in the belly of a whale because of his disobedience to God. He was running away from God, caught in sin, and he found himself in the lowest point of his life, in the belly of a whale. How many of you have ever been in a belly of a whale? I don't think so. If you have, why don't you come and talk to me afterwards? But that'll be awesome. But we've all been in some sort of a place of sin. And this is where Jonah was. And this was Jonah's message. This was the song that he had in his heart. He was singing to them and he preached to them. And that is what caught the message on fire. And it went through the place and it spread. He couldn't reach those 120,000 people by himself. It spread. And it also was anointed by God. And I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. But God has given us this same message to preach repentance and forgiveness. Let's look through these scriptures really quickly here. In John 3:16, you know this well. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his one and only son. He loved the world. So that, verse 16, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Without Jesus, we are destined to perish. It's just the reality of the scriptures. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. I encourage you to read these scriptures later on. As I go through them, I'll go through them quickly this morning. It says God's kindness in Romans 2, chapter 3 through 5, talks about God's kindness. He says, verse 4, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing God's kindness is intended to lead you to what? Repentance? God's kindness is not intended, his grace isn't intended to lead us to our indulgence of our sins, but our repentance of ourselves, recognizing that we need a salvation. We need to be delivered from our pit. All right, so let's continue. Romans 3:23 makes it clear, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. Newsflash, folks, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. And I, like Paul, the Apostle Paul, who often said, I am the chief of sinners, and I need God's salvation. We fall miserably short of living up to anything that could ever come close to God's glory. And that's why we are incredibly needful of his salvation. And as a result of that sin that we find ourselves in is death. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is our city right now. When we go out onto the trains and we go out into the different places, these people are in this pit right now. They are in a pit of despair and loneliness and hopelessness. They're looking for something to fill that void in their life, and we have the answer. We have the answer. Our mission is to go and baptize them and teach them. And our message is the repentance and forgiveness of sins. And I just want you to, again, remind you that it's not just up to me as the preacher. It's not just up to Kelly as a pastor to do this work. It's on all of us. I want to encourage you. I heard the story of Pamela just a little while ago. Gordon was sharing with me. She was on her way somewhere in the morning, and she was actually on the train listening to some worship music, and then she didn't realize it, but she was singing it out loud, and then all of a sudden, and this girl across from her was saying, hey, what are you doing? What are you saying? And so they ended up striking up a conversation. Eventually, there was something that happened there where they ended up hanging out together. And Pamela ended up leading this girl to Jesus just the other day. When was it? Yesterday? Last week. Praise God. It's on all of us. That is what I'm saying. It's going to start with us and our obedience, to be obedient to what he's asking us to do. Now, I want to take you back to Luke for just a second here, because I want to give us some time here at the end of this message. Something that's often neglected in the mission and the message that we have as believers is the last instruction that God gave to us. And that last instruction in verse 49 of Luke 24 says, "I am going to send you what my Father promised. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." You see, they were meeting with Jesus in this one place, and they were going to have to go back to Jerusalem and go back there. And Jesus knew that. And so he said, "Stay there and wait for the gift that my Father promised so that you will be clothed with power from on high." And then Luke later on talks about it in his other book, the book of Acts, that he was writing. This is the same account that he was just the different perspective. He says, on one occasion while he was eating with them in Acts chapter 1, this was, again, right before Jesus was to be taken to heaven. It was after he had suffered and been crucified and died for our sins and was raised from the dead. He spent time with these guys, 40 days to be exact, teaching them about the things of the kingdom of God. And his last words to him, to these guys, his last words to these guys was what? "Go and do whatever you want to do with your life and just be free." No, he said, "Go and wait on the gift of the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Wait for that promise, because John, the John the prophet, he baptized with water, which is important. But I'm telling you, when I go away, the Spirit is coming and you are going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Amen. And he says what in Acts 1:8? "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be what? My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And Acts 2:4 to Acts 2:1-4, they did what Jesus said. They went and they waited. They were going about their business, but they were coming together constantly in prayer, seeking after God, seeking after the promise that he had given them. And what happened? In Acts 2:1-4, it says, when the day of Pentecost came. The day of Pentecost was a day of festival for the Jewish people, because it was a day that they would give their first fruits of their grain offering to the Lord. And it was a way of bringing in a harvest to God. And I'm telling you, right now, there's such a parallel of the Pentecostal harvest that God poured out on that day. It became no longer just a great harvest, but it was going to be about a harvest of souls. Because when God poured out his Spirit that day, it says they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I just want to encourage you right now. I'm going to put in a plug for what God has been doing in our Holy Spirit night. Last week, some of us were there, and there was a good crowd of us there. And what we're doing is we're just coming together and seeking the Lord. We want more of his Spirit, because we know that without his Spirit, our mission and our message is not going to be possible. It's not going to be effective. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit so that we can be effective as witnesses. And so I want to encourage you this coming Sunday, the 26th of November, we're going to meet again. And we're just going to go and we're going to seek after God, much like they did in the upper room here in Acts 2:4, and just say, "Lord, do what you want to do, because we need your power. We need to be filled with your Spirit so that we can go out and be the witnesses you've called us to be." As Carolina begins to come this morning, I want to close this out with looking back at Jonah once again. Jonah, and let me just say, there's so many aspects of the power of the Holy Spirit. One of them is that he gives us power to overcome sin in our lives. He gives us power to prophesy. He gives us power to go forth and be the witnesses that God has called us to be. So there are so many wonderful things. I want to encourage you, be a part of what God is doing there in that meeting. And so as we go back to Jonah, I just want to briefly hit this. Jonah's obedience to go and preach led Nineveh to believe God. You'll find that in verse 5 through 10. Jonah's obedience to go and preach led Nineveh to believe God. And then their belief in God led to radical repentance. You see radical repentance when a whole city is humbling themselves before God. They're taking off of their royal clothes. The king himself is taking off his royal robes and saying, I am not worthy. I need to put sackcloth on me, this dry and dirty cloth on me, because I am not worthy to receive what God has, his forgiveness. But I want to humble myself upon him. Humble myself and call upon him. And that city called upon him urgently, asking God for his forgiveness. I want to ask you, what about our obedience? I've already made that point clear today. It's not just about my obedience. It's about our obedience as followers of Christ. To go and to preach and to wait upon the gift of the Holy Spirit. It sounds like we might need to do that in reverse. But that is what God wants for us today. That is the church that he has called us to be. And let me tell you, the church, we're looking for a building. We're looking for property. And if you know of any property, let us know. We're gonna pursue that because we believe that that's going to help us to be more impactful. But the church has nothing to do with a building. It has nothing to do with cathedrals. The church has everything to do with what's going on inside of you. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church. And us moving together in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is what's going to change this world for God's glory, for his kingdom to come. So what about our obedience to Jesus' last instructions? Wait on the Holy Spirit before we do anything else. We need to wait on the Holy Spirit and be filled with him so that we can go out and be the effective witnesses and preach the gospel with boldness and clarity so that people will come to repentance and receive God's forgiveness. That is what happened in the early church, and that is what needs to happen in the church today if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be. If you'll continue to read through the book of Acts, I encourage you to do so. The apostles, and not even just the apostles, but all the believers came together constantly, living together in community, growing in their relationship to God, and being the church that God called them to be. And they preached the gospel. They preached the good news of Jesus with boldness and clarity. And people came repenting of their sins. People came repenting. And that's what happened with Jonah. He preached and God brought the results. When we preach, God brings the results. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who brings conviction. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings life. The Holy Spirit is the one who sheds the light of Jesus on the darkness in the people's hearts. As you stand with me this morning, I want to encourage you and I want to give us a moment here. First of all, earlier I said one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that happens is he gives us power to overcome sin in our lives. God doesn't want you to be a slave to sin. He doesn't want you to be someone who has all this darkness in him. You are his child. And he has given you the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about, to empower us to live for him. And so he gives us the power to overcome sin. If there is anything in your life that you're saying, God, I just can't get it out of my life. I've tried. I want this. I want to be done with this. I want to encourage you. Call upon the name of God today. Humble yourself before him. Call urgently on him and say, God, I repent. I want you. And I want this gift of what Jesus has done for me. I recognize that I can't save myself and I need Jesus to save me. And so if you want to learn more about following Jesus, come and see me and we'll pray for you and we'll talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. There's going to be Gordon and Kelly at different areas, And we want to just invite you to come and pray with us if you want that. But I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting to call on God as we sing this song. Let there be a song rising up inside of your heart saying, God, come. Let in these days, just like the prophet Joel prophesied, pour out your spirit upon us, because there's a great city we're living in that you've called us to. And in this city, there are people who are lost. Lord, pour out your spirit upon us so that we can be empowered to go and do what you've called us to do. That's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. What is your response to what God has given us as a promise? Lord, right now we come before you and we humble ourselves before you, God. We recognize that we are just sinners who are saved by your grace. And we are thankful, Lord, for the new song that you've given us, that you've put in our hearts, because you have redeemed us and you have given us new life through what Jesus did. And you have given us the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, today we humble ourselves before you and we thank you and we praise you. We declare your greatness and we ask you, Lord, pour out your spirit upon us so that we can be freed from our sins, so that we can be empowered to live for you and be empowered to do the witness and preach the message that you have called us to preach. God, we want to see people's lives changed. We want to see this city changed. We want to see this nation changed. We want to see this world changed. So, Lord, we pray that you would blow fresh upon us, Lord, the Holy Spirit, as you have promised. And we call out to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about The Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.